Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. This is your host, Stone Payton, and joining me in the studio this morning is my good buddy and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir.
How are you doing today, Stone?
I am doing well, man. Looking forward to this week. You know, we got our big thing Thursday night. You know about that, right? The Global Connect thing?
I would not miss that for the world. If anybody is doing business anywhere with the international community and you are not there, you are missing out big time.
Well, it says right here on the thing, so you know it's true. One amazing night.
See that? You don't have to say anything else. 38 binational chambers of commerce in one room. Lots of people. They expect 1,000 to 2,000 people there.
Really?
Yep. Big crowd.
We got to be at that. 5:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. We will be broadcasting live.
Absolutely. Thursday, July 21st at our soon-to-be home, 200 Peachtree.
Fun stuff. So, and let's see. Are they giving away anything at the door? There's going to be food there.
Food. Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah. You had me at food.
Exactly.
Okay. Cool. All right. So you can go to their website, which is...
It's not that simple.
It's not that simple. Okay. Which you can email exec@babg.org.
Right. That's Ray Gilbert. He's with the British American
You know what? Don't do that. Call him because you want to hear his accent. Remember we had him in the show the other day?
Yeah. If you like to hear British accents, he's your guy.
Don't you think he had like kind of a Scottish lilt to it or something?
I'm not.
Call this guy. Even if you don't get him, you just listen to his voicemail.
Exactly.
404-681-2224. Or just go to the babg.org website.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll find stuff there.
And there'll be something there. Fun stuff. But we've got a great show this morning, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce to you the owner of the Atlanta branch, I guess we'd call it. We'll find out. For VR Business Brokers, Miss Yasmin Jandali.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Well, we are delighted to have you, VR Business Brokers. Tell us a little bit about what you guys do.
Oh, great. Well, thanks for guys having me. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here to tell people about what we do. So VR Business Brokers is the largest network of professional business brokers in the country. And it was established in 1979. And since then, we as a network have sold more businesses in the world, really, than anybody else. So we've got a vast network of experienced professionals that have a wonderful proven system to help our clients get the results that they're looking for when it comes to the sale of their company.
And so are you looking mostly in your marketing, do you seek out people that are wanting to buy a business or people that are wanting to sell a business, or do you work both ends of that transaction?
That's a great question. The vast majority...
Did you hear that, Lee?
That's one great question.
Mark
it up.
We keep track of that, just so you know.
That's your great question for the week, right?
Could be. The week's early.
Well, the majority of our clients, our sellers, so our seller clients who are looking to transition out of their specific business that they own currently for any number of reasons. It could be health reasons, relocation. It could be just that they've been doing it for a really long time and they're ready to do something else.
The partner could be really hard to work with.
The partner could be just hard to work with. Any number of things. And so in our process of marketing the business for sale in a confidential manner, of course, then we start working with the prospective buyers who are interested in those opportunities and explaining them to them in the process and helping them through the cycle of actually buying the business.
Now, is this if I'm going to sell this business hypothetically today, depending on how Stone behaves the rest of the afternoon, is that something that takes a week, a month, a year? Like, how long should I be anticipating that I'm going to have to deal with him until this thing gets unloaded?
You guys are on a roll with these great questions this morning. You must have had your Wheaties. I get that question all the time. And the thing that people really need to realize about the sale of a business, it's a very important process.
But is it like eBay? Do I just put it up there and then I just say buy now?
It shouldn't be like eBay. Well, I mean, you could try it, but you're not going to get a lot of quality doing it that way. The minimum cycle, we tell people to expect an average time frame of about 6 to 8 months minimum going into this to have realistic expectations in terms of the cycle of selling the business. Some businesses take a little bit longer and some sell sooner, but the average average is about 6 to 8 months.
Can you kind of walk us through, okay, once we decide, okay, Stone and I have had enough, we want to retire to the beach somewhere, and so we contact your firm, what happens day one? What's the process look like? Is this going to be painful, or is this going to be something that kind of happens in the background of our business?
Well, when you work with professionals like us, it's far from painful.
Okay.
That's why you need professional representation, so that we can help you get it done right, so that in the interim before it sells, in the meanwhile, you're focusing on running your business as
exactly.
usual.
Exactly.
You don't need the headache of dealing with buyers. So the first thing that we do for all of our prospective clients is put together a market price valuation to determine what their business is worth. And because we have
is it based just on what we think?
No.
Bet you they always think it's worth, don't they usually think it's worth more than it really
Everybody thinks their business is worth $5 million, and there
really?
Are a few that are, but...
Only
but
$5 million?
Yeah, that's right. It's a bargain, right?
So how do you come up with what it's worth?
Well, we review and analyze the business's historical financials, generally a minimum of 3 years corporate tax returns, along with the financial statements or P&Ls for the company. In addition to that, because we have sold more businesses than anybody else, we've got the largest database of sold businesses. So we can go in there and look up by industry.
Oh, so you can go like, oh, yogurt stands.
Sure.
They make about this much.
It's like comps in real estate, right?
Similar. That's right. So we can look up similar businesses with similar revenues and similar cash flows and figure out what they've been selling for. And that helps us really to get an idea of what's going on in the marketplace and what buyers are willing to buy, buyers are willing to pay for these particular businesses. And so that's part of the process. And then we review review the financials, come up with the cash flow figure, which is really one of the key numbers that's going to determine the value of the business, and then suggest a value for you. And the majority of the businesses in our office will end up selling for an average of about 90% of the asking price, which is a pretty darn good average.
Now, what is it typically just a percentage of cash flow?
No, it's not a percentage of cash flow. It has more to do with industry multiples, industry uh-huh. multipliers of cash flow versus percentages.
Okay, so it could be 5 times cash flow or 2 times or...
That's right.
Just
and
depending on the industry.
It depends on the industry. It depends on the type of business, depends mm-hmm. on a lot of different factors, because obviously the higher the cash flow, the more the business is going to be worth. And one thing to take into consideration as we're doing these valuations is that the cash flow needs to do 3 things for an owner of a company. So the first thing is they need to be able to pay themselves a salary from that cash flow figure. Obviously, they need to earn a living. The second thing is the business needs to service its own debt. So if they borrow money to buy the business, or if the seller themselves are financing the transaction, either way, the business needs to service its own debt. So we take that into consideration with the cash flow as well. And then the third thing is the new owners are going to need to reinvest into the business to grow it. Nobody buys a business to keep it status quo. They buy it to grow it and help it reach its full potential, whether that means additional equipment or marketing or whatever the case might be. So that's the third thing that the cash flow needs to do, is reinvest back into that business to help it grow.
So how do you get the word out, but yet continue to protect your image as a successful...
You just put for sale on the door.
Yeah. See, I'm thinking
right?
That's maybe not a good call. Or I'm not even sure I would want to... If we were selling, all kidding aside, you'd have to be kind of elegant about how you went out and talked about that, right? Because some people might say, oh, God, they're getting out.
All our employees would be bailing,
right?
Right. Yeah, all one of your employees.
That's it. In here. You don't know this enterprise you're walking
yeah,
into.
Yeah, that's right.
Here.
No, I'm just teasing. But that's absolutely true. And that's one of the main reasons why it's so important to get professional, reputable assistance when you're deciding to sell your company. I mean, for many people, this is the largest investment that they've ever made, aside from maybe purchasing a home. So we take it very seriously. And for many owners, they've spent years and years and years building up this company, and they don't want anything to jeopardize the operations. So everything that we do is strictly confidential. We never disclose the name, the address, the location, the website, nothing like that in any of our marketing pieces, to make sure that we keep the confidentiality of the business intact, because we don't want to, like I said, jeopardize the operation. We don't want the employees to freak out. We don't want the customers to think, oh my goodness, they're selling. Are they going to close tomorrow? So we really really want everything business as usual until the deal closes.
And then everything goes through you, right? I'm not getting calls here at the studio going, hey, I heard you're for sale.
Yeah, that's
can
right.
Can I come by?
Sure.
I want to check out the place.
Kick that's the tires.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's why they call us and we schedule the appointments. Well, the first thing before scheduling any appointments with the seller is we meet with these prospective buyers and we pre-screen them, get them to sign the confidentiality agreements, get all the forms that we need from them, make sure we're talking to people who are serious and qualified and motivated to move forward for the right business and not just wasting anybody's time. And once we get through with that, meet them once or twice, have a good feeling about them, only then do we, I guess, open up the gates and allow them to meet with the sellers. We're the gatekeepers.
Now, is it unheard of to try to protect your employees, though? Because actually, we do have some employees.
Sure.
And they run the board in some of the other studios and do some customer service kind of contact work. Mm-hmm. If we were going to bail out, I mean, I'd like to protect those
right.
folks a
Are
little
bit. Are we allowed to do that?
Is that unheard of to build into the deal to at least keep them on for a little while? Or
at least a week. Because we care.
That's right.
10 days, you know, it's one of those things where once the new owner has taken over, we really can't control or force them
new
to do anything. That's right. There's a new sheriff in town.
Right.
However, if the new owner is a smart business person, which we generally like to work with smart people, they will realize that they have bought an existing ongoing business for a reason. Part of that reason is the infrastructure that's in place of staff and client base and all of that. So most smart buyers won't go in and start making all these radical changes from day one, because otherwise, what's the point of buying an existing business? You go do your own thing. So most people will realize the value of that and keep the infrastructure in place and then implement their own changes slowly over a period of time once they've gone in and learned the business themselves.
And so what about timing? Is now a good time to buy a business, or is it a better time to sell a business? Is it, I don't know, a buyer's market, a seller's market right now?
Well, it's always a good time to buy and sell a business, especially, right?
In her business.
It's always a good time.
That's a business broker answer right there.
It's always a good time. Well, and there's always a market for good, strong, quality businesses that have good cash flow regarding of economic challenges or anything, you know, external going on. There's always a market for good, strong, quality businesses with strong cash flow. And there are always buyers out on the market, always. And I mean, especially these days when we hear a lot about corporate layoffs and departments closing and divisions closing and that sort of thing. Most of those people, I mean, I hear every week, at least a dozen times a week, I'm never going to work for anybody else ever again. I want to do my own thing. And that's obviously one of the main drivers for people to consider purchasing, you know, acquiring a business to run themselves. And so there's never a bad time. And if you have a good, strong business, even if the business needs a little bit of TLC, it's always sellable. I really, truly believe every business is sellable as long as it's marketed at the right price. That's really the key, because you have to be realistic with your price expectations. Otherwise, it's never going to sell.
Now, do you have any tips maybe for our listeners who are thinking at some point of exiting their business? Is there things that they can do to kind of spruce it up? Like, you know, if you're going to sell your house, you know, maybe you're going to paint a little bit, you're going to do that landscaping you put off. Are there some things that you can do to get your business ready to sell?
Sure, absolutely. The first thing you want to do is always make sure that your financials and your books and records are in good order.
we're out.
Ruh-roh.
Out from number one, huh? Because obviously that's going to be the basis of the business valuation, as we discussed a moment ago. And if the books and records are in good shape, then the valuation is going to be stronger. The buyer's due diligence is going to be easier. Everything is going to move along that much smoother.
But isn't it really, if I'm selling and I'm hiring you, that's your problem?
No, not really.
Well, you're the one selling it. I'm doing my business, and I'm hiring you to sell this. So
no, but I don't. Our job is not to rework your financials.
She's not going to cook the books.
No.
I'm not saying cook the books, but to do everything that you can do to present it in the best possible light.
Well, of course, but you have to do your homework in advance, too.
I have to
give us something good to work with.
You know, I don't like to do work.
Now, can you buy or sell a part of a business, for instance, like Lee's part? Could we sell that?
Lee's part. Well, actually, that's another good question, because we've had...
2-0, by the way, just for those of you at home keeping score.
He had one earlier.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he had one. So There have been instances in the past where the buyers have come in and they've established such a good relationship and a good rapport with the seller, and they've actually decided to go into partnership together. Uh-huh. So the seller has said, hey, you know what? I really like you, and I think with your resources and my skills and my resource, we could do something really good with this business. So how about you buy 50% or 49 or 51, whatever it is, and we end up being partners and working together for the next couple of years and see where we take this. So that does happen sometimes, where we end up actually putting together a partnership rather than an outright sale. But to go back to, you know, preparing the business for sale, obviously having good, clean financials and books and records is very, very important. The second thing is really also crucial is keeping it completely confidential. You don't want to advise to the world that you want are planning on selling your business. Of course, you've got your family, your spouse, you know, whatever.
We're not telling her anything.
Is it a good idea to engage the spouse in these conversations, or do you keep your spouse out of it typically?
Is that a, are you being serious or?
No, yeah. Yeah. I mean, if I'm selling it, are you really getting to know, like say, is this potential buyer of my business? Yeah. Are you meeting their spouse? Like, is that an important thing?
We do like to meet the spouse because a lot of people don't realize that buying and investing in a business really is a family commitment.
Most
of the buyers that we work with are first time buyers. They've never owned a business before. They don't really know, you know, what the whole deal is. It's very different than going from your typical 9 to 5, you know, weekends off, that sort of thing.
Right.
You work really hard when you've got your own business. It's very rewarding and it's definitely worth the effort, but it's a lot more effort than it is just being an employee somewhere. So I do like to meet with the spouse to help them become aware of the realities of that and make sure that they're also on board with the process, because nothing derails a sale of a business faster than a spouse who's not happy.
Well, I couldn't buy a used car without my spouse, just from a financial standpoint.
I know.
Sure.
Much less a business.
Sure.
Can you imagine coming home, oh, honey, I made an acquisition today.
Surprise. Now, do you have in your Rolodex, do you have more people that are interested in buying businesses or more businesses that you're selling?
We always have a lot of each. We always have a lot of buyers that we work with. I have buyers in my database that I've been working with for, you know, a year and a half to find, you know, help them find businesses that for some reason they just haven't found
the
fit for them.
Match, mm-hmm. Right, that's what you're trying to do is matchmake a little bit.
And then as far as the seller clients go, we do tend to be quite selective, so we're not going to list every single business that comes our way. Mm-hmm. We like to make sure that the business, like I mentioned, has good, clean financials. And we're not really necessarily always focused on the businesses that have the highest selling price, because we've worked with businesses from, you know, $50,000 all the way up to multi-million dollars, because for us a good quality business is not only the one that's worth the most, it's everything. It's the whole picture. Does it have potential to grow? Does the seller have realistic expectations? What's the foundation and infrastructure that they've established? How replicable is it? How replaceable are the seller? So there's a lot of things that we take into account when we're deciding whether or not to work with a specific client.
So what are some options for financing the business? You know, we had the guy on, the SBA loan guy,
right,
in here. Was it last week? Maybe it was a week before last. But what are some ways to finance buying a new business? I bet there's some creative things you can do.
Credit
maybe
cards.
Maybe even seller financing?
Seller financing is big these days, absolutely.
Yeah.
So the three key... the three main ways of financing or paying for a business are obviously, number one, cash. If somebody has cash, they pay for it and they move on.
What percentage do that?
Quite honestly, these days, not so much.
Right.
You know, when everybody was fat and happy a few years ago, it was a much
checks?
More common occurrence. Absolutely.
Really?
Oh, wow. Sure, yeah.
$1 million checks. Write $1 million checks.
Well, I mean, maybe not $1 million checks, but the idea was people were more willing to jump in and take risks and invest the money that they had. So that's the one option. The second option, as you mentioned, also is the SBA financing and their structures and terms. Unfortunately, SBA financing is getting a little bit harder to find these days because of the criteria that they've put in place. It's still possible, and there's still a lot of businesses
but they still need a bunch of cash, right, for that?
Well,
collateral.
Yeah, the buyer is going to have to come up with about 20 to 25% down payment of the full project amount, and the project amount is not only the purchase price but also the SBA fees and all of those things that are rolled into the transaction. And then the third option, as you mentioned, is the seller financing. processing. And these days, for the last probably couple of years, the vast majority of transactions that we've closed have all included some portion of seller financing. And especially what happens is, you know, the last couple of years in the economy have been a challenge. I mean, it is what it is, right? It's not a big secret. So even businesses that have been around and been successful for many, many years have experienced a slump from, say, 2008, 2009 financials. So they could have a 15-year good, strong track record, but then they have 2 years of maybe not so hot financials. And so banks typically don't tend to look very favorably on that. And so that means that seller financing sometimes is our last resort option when we've got buyers that are interested in the business, but there's no bank financing available.
Now, when you do seller financing, is this something that, like, am I protected at all? If I'm financing this thing and the guy runs out of money or something, do I get the business back?
Yeah, for sure there are fail-safes in there to protect the seller, as well as fail-safes in there to protect the buyer, like a non-compete agreement and that sort of thing, because, you know, from the buyer's perspective, they're investing all this money. They don't want you to go and open up a radio station down the street and
right.
take all the customers.
Never
but, yeah.
cross my mind.
But definitely there's a promissory note in there. There's a personal guarantee in there from the buyer. And the way that's what the attorneys come in and do is prepare all those documents.
And is that included in part of your fees?
No, the attorney's fees are separate, but we do have a one attorney that we work with exclusively that has been doing these deals for us for years, and he has very competitive rates for our clients. So,
So are you in like a real estate agent in that you get a percentage of the deal after the deal, or do you get a flat fee, or is there... How is your fee structure organized?
Yeah, we are purely success-based, which is how we like to be, to have our people be motivated to go out and do a good job and sell the business as quickly as possible for the best price possible. And we are compensated as a percentage of the overall final selling price of the company.
And so how would you go about, if you're somebody like me and Lee, and if we were at a point where we were serious mm-hmm. about entertaining the idea of selling our business, mm-hmm. how do we shop for a business broker? What kind of questions should we be asking a business broker in some kind of interview process? What sort of traits, qualities, characteristics should we be looking for to make a good, solid, informed decision?
Sure. Well, the one of the things you want to ask them is, going back again to the valuation, what are they going to do? How are they going to really determine what your business is worth? That's very important. Because here's the thing, you don't want to just list your business, right? You want to sell your business. And if the price is off, it's never going to sell. And, you know, you don't want to undervalue the business and leave money on the table for the seller. And at the same time, you don't want to overvalue it and never sell it. So that's the first thing, is determine what criteria, what models, what valuation system they're going to be using to tell you what their business is, what your business is worth. The other thing is you want to ask them about their marketing structure. How do they advertise your business for sale? The other thing you want to ask them is, how do they handle your sensitive financial information, because you don't want, for example, your sensitive corporate tax returns to be emailed out to every buyer willy-nilly who contacts you.
Or put it on Craigslist.
Or put it on Craigslist, right. You know, and that's part of the whole confidentiality issue, is dealing with that in a very respectful, professional manner, because I wouldn't want my tax returns floating around everywhere for every, you know, all the people to see. So,
might create a few laughs.
What about, like, are there specialists? Like, there's some, like, we had on the commercial real estate person the other day. They just do commercial real estate. They don't do residential. Like, do you have a specialty that you do? I do yogurt and doctor's offices, and then somebody else does radio stations, you know, and something else.
Really like yogurt. That's the second time you've mentioned yogurt shops.
We have yogurt owners in here almost on a weekly basis.
I love yogurt. Nothing wrong with frozen yogurt. It's yummy. But there are some firms that probably do specialize.
Right.
But in our case, we don't like to restrict ourselves to any specific industry or any size of company. We like to really be able to work with good quality businesses across the board, because there are all kinds of buyers out there who are looking for all kinds of businesses.
Right.
And so we do work with all kinds of businesses.
Is there anything hot right now?
Anything hot right now?
Like, you know, kinds of industry, any types of businesses that are selling more easily than others?
Well, there's always a market for businesses in the medical industry, whether it's medical billing or, you know, home health care, that sort of, those always tend to have quite a lot of response to them. Also, businesses that tend to cater B2B type businesses, where you're not necessarily dealing with the end user, the end consumer, those tend to be quite popular. You know, wholesale distribution type businesses, those tend to be pretty popular as well.
What's the best way for our listeners to get in touch with you and learn more about your services?
Well, there's a couple of really good ways to do that. The first way is by telephone. You can call us at 770-814-4466 or get our information at vrnatlanta.com. You can contact us through the website as well.
What a delight. Thank you so much for coming down and visiting with us.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate the time, and I hope you found it useful and learned a little bit about the process of selling a business.
Well, of course, I was starting at ground zero, but I feel like I learned an awful lot.
And I think you learned an awful lot, too.
Well, we'd love to have you back sometime, maybe with someone who you helped navigate this process.
That'd
maybe
be
that
fantastic.
Would be a fun interview.
I'd love that. Absolutely.
Terrific. Well, until next time, this is Stone Payton, Lee Cantor, our guest this morning, Yasmeen Jandali with VR Business Brokers, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.